Insurgent Radio Network calling. Insurgent Radio Network calling. This is the Insurgent Radio Network, and this is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, right here in the bunker in North Central Indiana, right next to Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse, and that's right next to Terrible Tommy's filling station. We still have Ethel and Regular here. Yeah, and that's right next to our Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. We're all through the summer and the fall and part of the spring. You can commandeer an 18-wheeler. Come on over here to Central Indiana, North Central Indiana. Kick the tires and the tank treads on all us motorized vehicles we've got over here in the Weapons of Mass Destruction Used Equipment Yard. And if you find something you like, we'll give you a free paint job. You know, the gals want a pink one, we'll paint them pink. Whatever, you know, zebra colored. We got balloons and stuff for the kiddies. And, of course, we have music and karaoke at the bar most of the time. So that's it. This is the 5th of July, 2014. Looks like a half moon up there. Yeah, on the great Frank Silva Memorial Clock, yeah. Well, we got by another holiday that's been turned into a bunch of crap. And several of you have written me, and I've sent things back out you've written me about it. I did notice one thing that I didn't hear near as much booming and firecrackers as last year. And also I noticed that it was more centralized around people taking their kids down to the park where they had supervised fireworks. And another thing I noticed, I didn't see many American flags hanging around, you know. Seems like every year there's less American flags. I think that sort of tells you something right there. I think the message is starting to get across from the rest of the world. They're getting tired of this military-industrial complex empire stomping all over the earth, occupying countries and killing people for the American corporations or British corporations or French corporations or wherever, Israeli corporations. I think maybe they may slowly be getting the message. We're becoming hated because of the actions of these corporate CEOs and this corporate sort of fascism controlling the government. People beginning to realize that the government doesn't do anything unless it's told it's okay by the international banks and corporations. I think it's finally getting through to people. Slow, though. They are so slow. Yeah. You know, I played a clip for you yesterday, and I forgot to tell you where it was from. It's from the movie 13 Sins. If you want to see boy, I'm telling you, a raw movie, 13 Sins is it. Well, to escape all this falderall, including the giant used cars and new car sales all along the streets, saying you're not a good American unless you buy a car today, my main squeeze and I escaped to the darkness of the inner sanctum of the local theater, where we watched a film called Deliver Us from Evil. The only thing that looked halfway interesting among all the rest of the kiddie films they've got running nowadays. Seems like they run 2/3 kiddie films and silly films, teeny bopper films, and maybe one good drama. And usually that's not so good. But anyhow, Deliver Us from Evil is a combination of things that you're going to have a hard time believing me. It's got elements of the Afghan war in it. It's got the inner city crime. It's got inner city cops, at least this time it's white cops, and it's got the devil and all that stuff, got priests with crucifixes running around, and I'm telling you, these stories like this, I think, do more to keep people in belief of the baby Jesus than anything else, these movies, because they can make it much more interesting than the church can. So the churches ought to be thankful they're making these wacko movies. It scares the hell out of people. You know, subconsciously, they're thinking, oh my, what if it is true? I think it is true. There is a baby Jesus, and there's demons out there going to drag me down into the lake of fire, man, if I don't work hard for the corporations and volunteer for the wars, and among other things. Anyhow, I received a packet of 12 shows here, new shows from Sling Blade. I noticed the one thing on the quality, the audio is down just a little bit, but they're very audible, and it's better to have a little less than too much. So we're going to run his the first of the 12 today and see what you think. And he's right up to par and right up to in spirit and ready to go. So with that, let's go to Sling Blade.
This is Ghost Wolf Radio Bone. My name is Hal Burr. Short for Howard Burroughs. Hal Burr. Mark Halbert down on your calendar because I'm coming to a town near you. Actually, it's a Sling Blade. It's been a long time since I recorded anything. I've done a lot of reading since then, just seeking out knowledge. I said on past Ghost Wolf shows before that you shouldn't read anything else besides military tactics and this and that. But I think it's good to... I've come across the fact that we have two brains up in our head. We have a left brain and a right brain. And the left brain is geared towards mechanicalism and is more mathematical. It's also where a lot of your positive emotions come from and this and that. And your right brain is your imagination, where a lot of your negative moods and your negative outlook on life tends to come from. If you're a pessimistic person, you're more of a right brain person. Which is why a lot of artists, you know, from Monet and all those guys, I don't know specifically, but I see a lot of artists are naturally pessimistic people because the more their right brain is engaged. I came across this guy on the internet called Mark Passio, and I don't know whether you like him or not. It's just I found the guy somewhat interesting. He used to belong to the Church of Satan, and you know, he's not part of that anymore, but he's an alternative researcher now. And he's got a number of videos on YouTube. But he talks about using the whole brain. And a balanced person is somebody who's using the whole brain. So I try to read things that are geared towards the right brain and the left brain. So when I want to talk today about the secrets of street survival, Israeli style, staying alive in a civilian war zone, by Eugene Sokot. I don't know how to pronounce that. And you're like, come on, man, Jewish shit. You know, you guys really need to get over that. Okay, Zionism is bad, but Zionism does not, you know, is not representative of all the Jewish people. There's just too many Jews out there who have no idea what's going on. And in fact, they've been led to believe for thousands of years that the world is out to get them. So naturally, they're going to be paranoid, unfriendly, tribalistic, or whatever, you know. So you gotta, we as people who are alive to white consciousness need to get out of the box. And I've said that over and over again. I don't know if a lot of us are doing that. Zionism hides behind a mask of Jewishness. So, if anybody questions them or has anything negative to say about them, well, then you're anti-Semitic, which is a weapon that they use to shut down criticism. Okay? Now we can go talk all day long about how Wall Street's dominated by Jews and this and that, and I believe that, you know, there are powers out there that just shape things the way they are. I really believe nothing happens by chance anymore. I really believe that everything, almost everything, is engineered and orchestrated somehow. I mean, if you shut the computer off right now and go to the store and get a bag of Doritos, the global elite did not control that. That's not what I'm saying. The things that happen on the world stage are all by design. I really believe that. And so many Jews gravitate towards communications degrees so they can be in sports or so they can be anchormen on news shows, and then they get into finance. You know, they say you don't find a lot of Jews in machine shops or warehouses. That's true. Because once again, their parents who raised these kids, and the world is out to get you. You need to be successful so you can protect yourself. Well, why are they so paranoid? I mean, you can't deny that things haven't happened to Jews. Yeah, but they deserved it. I believe that the entire Jewish people are being vilified by the actions of a small minority of them, which are Zionists. Yeah, but what do you say about the blacks are doing all this shit? The blacks have been forged into a weapon to destroy white society. Blacks didn't forge that weapon. The blacksmith who's working with the hammer and anvil shaping the black race into this weapon is not black. The blacksmith who shapes the black race to be this weapon of white civilized destruction are global elitist whites. But the reason why they don't look at you, white man, with any sense of brotherhood is because they belong to a different bloodline. Approximately 13 bloodlines run the entire world. That is so well fucking documented, it's not even funny. But you won't hear that on Fox or MSNBC. Fox News and MSNBC are two sides of the same coin. Now, Tom Metzger, bless his heart, you know, he leans to the left. He's a little bit more sympathetic to the left, you know, and I can appreciate that, being a working man. But the left and the right have one master. Now, me and Tom have talked about black propaganda on Ghost Wolf Radio before. You know, black propaganda where you do something in the name of something else to discredit it. That's actually, I mean, when I heard Tom talking about that, you know, a number of years ago, I'm like, wow, that's ingenious, Tommy. But actually, it's very, very old. You know, Hitler had German soldiers attack a German radio station on the Polish border and leave dead bodies laying around with Polish uniforms on. These were German civilians who were brought out of a mental institution. Okay, a false flag operation is black propaganda. Now, since we've talked about black propaganda on Ghost Wolf Radio before, why is it so hard for people to get around the concept of the Hegelian dialectic. Every time I said that phrase in Metzger, he like rolled his eyes. You know, I don't know if he, I've never met him personally, so I don't know if he physically rolled his eyes, but he just, you know, brushed it off, kind of. Well, black propaganda is Hegelian dialectic. In fact, that fact just hit me yesterday. We've been talking about Hegelian dialectic, but just under another name, numerous times on Ghost Wolf Radio, and it is an old tactic. Say what you want to about 9/11. Now, you know, resist.com has their resident experts on this and that. Nobody should be in a box on this website. I gear towards street survival guerrilla shit because that's just my nature. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to look into financial matters and 9/11 matters and all these other things. Do not allow yourself to be in a box. We're doing that too much. Hegelian dialectic. Pressure from above and pressure from below. I've heard G. Edward Griffin describe it that way. I've heard David Icke, say what you want to about him. He says some interesting things, and some things are just way out there. So he calls it problem, reaction, solution. Pretty well-known fact that the Patriot Act was written long before 9/11 happened. Does anybody find it interesting that the cornerstone, every time they lay the cornerstone of a major building or edifice in the world, whether it's a royal palace or a financial institution or a great cathedral, there's always a Masonic ceremony. And we at Resist.com, I believe, have really brushed aside the Freemasonry, Rosicrucian, Illuminati aspect of what's going on in the world. And Zionism plays a huge role in that. Picture this in your head. Picture a triangle. And I don't know, I think I've said this before. Picture a triangle in your head. And at each corner, those three corners, you're going to put some. At one corner, you're going to put Zionism. At another corner, you're going to put the European royal families, all of them, especially the British royal family. And they are not our friends. So you have Zionism, the royal families of Europe, and the Vatican. I don't have the material in front of me, but I'm pretty convinced now that Zionism is subservient to the Vatican. That's right. You know, the Rothschilds have been called the Vatican's bankers. So when we talk about Jews, we need to specify just some Jew who's deceived like a lot of white people are, or a Rothschild Zionist. So you're in power, right? Imagine that. You're in a position of power. And you want to stay in power. And you don't want a real grassroots organization rising up to take away your power, run you out of the palace, burn it to the ground, leave your bodies in a ditch. You don't want that. You don't want the hardcore fighters to rise up from the masses and wake up the masses. So what do? You fund, create, and organize your own opposition. And you run it. G. Edward Griffin came out of the John Birch Society, and you couldn't convince me that he was bought and paid for. He did the best he could with the knowledge he had. That guy has been at this, trying to wake up people since the 50s, I think. I've seen videos on YouTube of him as a young guy with slick black hair, looking a lot like Ronald Reagan, back in the late 50s, giving talks about the New World Order. People have been talking about the New World Order and the global elite just corralling humanity into a pen for a long time now. think for a second you're going to get out there and you are going to wake people up with flyers and this and that. It's just not going to happen. So you have your triangle, right? Zionism, the royal families, and the Vatican. Now within that triangle, you're going to have transnational corporations, international bankers. You're going to have, I don't know what to call it, the movie industry and the music industry, which are completely controlled by them. Does anyone find it odd that Britney Spears is related to John McCain? Does anybody find it odd that John McCain is a ninth cousin twice removed by Barack Obama? And you know, when I brought this up to people, oh, that's crazy, man, ninth cousin, you know how far out that is. Well, I challenge anyone, the way I challenge this person who I told this to, I challenge any person to look up your family tree and show me how you're related to George Washington or how you're related to someone famous today. Because I really believe this Ancestry.com shit, I really believe that a lot of that is bogus. Because the knowledge is getting out there about these special bloodlines. I've heard the phrase called blue blood, true blood. You know, we human beings are have iron-based blood systems. Say what you want to about it. I don't know if I believe it, but there is another bloodline on this planet that is copper-based. So when it's exposed to oxidization, it looks like blue-greenish, kind of. And ours looks like dark red and brown, and sometimes dark brown, almost black. You know, I don't know if I believe that, but I tell you what, the lack of empathy that the people who run the world have for the misery that's on this planet speaks volumes to me of how unhuman they are. We are dealing with people who are unhuman. They look human, but they're not human. I recently just sent a book to Tom Metzger called Puzzling People, The Labyrinth of the Psychopath. And it really shows how there's really two subspecies of the human species. And this is found in every race, every culture, every ethnicity. There are people out there, if you hook up their brain to certain things, like, you know, you hook up their brain to electrodes or whatever, and you show them the picture of a baby laughing or whatever, they get no response. And if you follow that up with a picture of a horrific crime scene with a dismembered body, the brain is almost blank. Whereas normal people, certain brains would light up with revulsion to the horror scene, and in other parts of the brain would light up to seeing a baby laugh or playing or something like that. Psychopaths run the world. This is an example where the crap rises to the top, not the cream. Psychopaths, you know, I'm not name calling here. You don't have to physically kill people to be a psychopath, and that's what this book proved. And a lot of people get involved with these psychopaths. They know how to prey on people. They watch people. They study people. They find their weaknesses, and then they gaslight them. That's another phrase that's not well known about gaslighting. That's where, you know, you mess with people's heads so they can start doubting their own sanity. I believe that the entire masses of America are being gaslit right now by the use of the media. They're getting us to doubt reality. We look at this entertainment industrial complex and we think that that's reality. we think that the black guy who plays the judge and the black guy who plays the lawyer are true representations of black people out there. An individual example of someone being gaslighted is, for example, you have a man and a woman, and they're in a relationship, and the man is a predator, and he'll do something to start messing with the woman's head, so she starts doubting her own soundness and starts questioning her own confidence, and you know it affects the person's self-esteem. You know, they'll do something like if the woman has a habit of leaving something on the counter every day so she don't forget it, he'll remove it and she'll say, "Did you move that?" I said, "No, I didn't move that. That's why I set that out there at 9 o'clock." "No, you didn't. You was over here at 9 o'clock." And she distinctly remembers setting it out at 9 o'clock. And this happens over a period of time. It's very subtle. And they basically mentally ruin people. Well, the same things happen on a mass scale in this country. Another book I sent Tom Metzger was the Tavistock Institute for Human Relations. And you don't hear a lot about the Tavistock Institute. They were formed by John Rawlings Rees, connections to the royal family way back when. I think it was called Wellington House before that. But basically our CIA, MI6, and probably even Mossad, you know, they are experts at brainwashing. They are experts at mind manipulation. They are experts at getting the masses to believe what they want them to believe. I read a book recently called The Age of Manipulation by Dr. Wilson Brian Key. I think he wrote that in 1983, but it's still valid today. You know, it's what he has to say about subliminals. Subliminals are everywhere. They're in the printed magazine, and he showed numerous examples of a ad for vodka, how there's like, you know, the word sex is hidden in it. Your conscious mind doesn't see it, but your subconscious does. And I've seen numerous examples of it, and it's well documented that it's going on. Well, they do the same thing in movies. They do the same thing with audio tracks. Well, they'll have a track of something that's inaudible to your ear, but your subconscious picks it up. Your subconscious picks up everything. Right now, you're listening to this Ghost Wolf radio show, but your subconscious is picking up the sounds of traffic outside your house, possibly a fan running. Your subconscious is picking up minute changes in the temperature. Maybe you're air conditioning just went out and your subconscious knew it 5 minutes before you consciously recognized it. They have been studying the human brain for a long, long time, and they know how we think. They know what levers to pull. I went to the movies last night, which I don't normally do. Probably be the last movie I've seen in a long time. It was that 21 Jump Street Part 2. My nephew wanted to go see it, so I went with him. There were trailers that you had to sit through. Upcoming comedies featuring interracial couples. 21 Jump Street Part 2 had an interracial thing with Jonah Hill hooking up with a black girl. And before the movie started, there was this ad for Coca-Cola. And this nerdy, insecure guy, and he likes this girl, and they show them on roller coasters together, and now they're getting closer and closer, and now they're holding hands, and they're sharing a Coke. That is masterfully done, and I'm looking back at this, I'm looking at this commercial while it's going on, dividing it up in my mind, I guess. Everyone around me is taken in by that commercial, but I'm like analyzing it. And that's what they do. I'll never forget a Christmas commercial. A commercial that came out at Christmas time a couple of years ago about Folgers Coffee. This guy knocks on the door and he comes in and his sister, and I guess he's home from college, and she gives him a big hug, and they're making Folgers. And then the aroma of the coffee reaches the second floor where the parents are sleeping, and they wake up, oh, we must be home now. And the sister takes the bow off some present and puts it on the brother's chest. He's like, what's this for? And she's like, I got my presents, you know, pulling the heartstrings by selling fucking coffee. This is just two examples how you are being manipulated in so many ways. Vance Packard, in his book, The Hidden Persuaders, which came out in 1957, showed that corporations have on their staff a bevy of psychologists to help get inside our brains so they can sell shit we don't need. We've been bamboozled for too long. I don't think for a second that you're going to have some meeting, some celebration for Hitler's birthday or anything else, and thinking that things are going to change. I've rethought my whole position on Hitler and the Third Reich and all that, and too many of us find pride in that stuff, which is another box that we've been designed to be in. See, we'll never wake up the masses when Hitler is someone that we look up to, and most of white society looks at him as a villain. Cleverly designed. But you Hitler lovers out there, you don't find it a little bit bothersome that Hitler's mother was a maid in Rothschild's mansion, and when she became pregnant out of wedlock, they removed her from the mansion immediately? Or Hitler's grandmother. One of Hitler's grandparents, maternal or paternal, I don't know. His father was a rabbi, Schickelgruber, I think the name was. I don't know if any of you have read out there, Anthony C. Sutton. He wrote three books, a trilogy of books about Wall Street, called Wall Street and the Bolshevik Revolution, Wall Street and FDR, and Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. Wall Street funded all three of those. Wall Street completely funded the rise and buildup of Hitler's war machine. IG Farben, which was such a huge corporation in Germany, they called it a state within a state, had an American counterpart of IG Farben. I believe it was James Warburg, son of Paul Warburg, was on the board of directors for the IG Farben in America, and Max Warburg was on the board of directors in IG Farben in Germany. But Max Warburg didn't go to the Nuremberg trials. Oh no, that was only for the lower level people. Don't you find it convenient that it was the working class areas of Germany, for the most part, that were bombed into oblivion, and that the parts of England that were bombed were the working class areas? The Buckingham Palace didn't get bombed, I don't believe, did it? I'm not completely sure about that, but that'd be good for someone you computer savvy people look into. When I know Coventry was bombed in England, but I believe the very rich areas were not bombed. All right. Well, I forgot the name of Hitler's SS officer who could not stand the working class people. Couldn't stand them. He was such an aristocrat. Please get off of this Hitler trip. He is not our friend, and he's not anyone that we need to look up to. All right, might as well get into this Secrets of Street Survival. A little bit of it anyways. The individual who is psychologically unprepared to use deadly force in a life or death confrontation is almost certainly doomed to failure, since he faces not one but two adversaries, himself and his enemy. An enemy almost certainly has no qualms about taking his life. Going on, it says many individuals simply refuse to believe in the immediate or the imminence of approaching injury, or the possibility of their own death at the hands of some evil perpetrator. Many tend to view human behaviors through their own eyes, and since they would not be capable of committing cold-blooded murder, cannot accept the fact that others who do such things do so without hesitation. I'll never forget a show I did co-host with Metzger one time, and I'm not picking on Metzger, it's just, you know, he's one of the most hardcore people on the website. So if he has a tendency to believe certain things, I think someone else would. And he said one time that, you know, they have all these positions in place, you know, all these pieces of the chessboard have their white race in checkmate, but oh, I don't think they'll go through, they don't have the balls. They have the balls, but they're moving incrementally so not too many of us wake up. And the problem with too many of us, we just refuse to believe that there are people out there that are just so ruthless that they will just destroy thousands of human beings and not even lose an ounce of sleep at night. They don't. That is a play that they put on in front of the people. You watch these documentaries about Nixon and Reagan when war is going on. They always show snapshots of them with their brow furrowed and their head in their hands. And it's like, oh, it's such a hard... That's bullshit. Okay? More mind manipulation. I encourage all of you to get a hold of Edward Bernays' book, Interlibrary Loan. You can still buy it as a pamphlet. You can, you know, Amazon.com, called Propaganda. He wrote one called Crystallizing Public Opinion. By the way, Edward Bernays was an American representative of the Tavistock Institute for Human Relations. So was Walter Lippmann. Okay, Walter Lippmann couldn't stand the mass of America. He, I don't know if he was Jewish or not, but he looked at us as like we were cattle. You know? That Mark Passio guy that I told you about, Passio, he heard from high satanic circles, because he made it pretty high up in the Church of Satan, and a lot of these higher up people in Church of Satan had connections with the CIA, had connections with prominent people in Hollywood and the music industry, and he said that he heard with his own ears that they call the people out there, the mass, they call them the dead, because they're not awake, they're dead. And another phrase that they had in these high satanic circles that rub elbows with very high level people in American society, another term they have for their military and police, they call them our dogs. That they'll sick their dogs on us. ATF, FBI, DEA, CIA, Secret Service, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, all these special operations police organizations, all of them. They are the buffer between the apex of the pyramid, which is really the world's only... The top people on the entire planet number about maybe 20,000, 25,000. And in between that 25,000 people who are the absolute movers and shakers of the planet, in between them and us, and we occupy the lower part of the pyramid, we number in the billions, is this very complex, high-tech apparatus of law enforcement. Law enforcement is not there to keep the streets safe. Law enforcement is there. Tom Metzger said this before, and he was right on. Law enforcement's only job is to maintain the status quo. I don't know if you guys heard about this in Seattle. Either they have it in place, or It's in the initial stages now, where they put these white boxes on street lamps in every intersection. And when you drive through this intersection, it downloads everything about you when your car passes through that intersection. It downloads all your banking information. If you have your library card with you, remember your library card has a barcode on it, it downloads all that information. It downloads your credit card information. If you have a Blue Cross Blue Shield card, I believe that has a barcode on it too, downloads all that. Every intersection you go to, and I believe that the Seattle Police Department is calling it BattleNet. Interesting, BattleNet. Like, they see us as the enemy. That's a new mindset of law enforcement now. So make no mistake about it. And if you have to face someone on the street, chances are they're going to be ruthless. I've seen that before. I've seen thugs just run up on someone, and that someone sees them coming, and they just freeze. Don't do anything. Too many of us have been so pacified by chemicals and TV indoctrination that we will just stand there and watch an assault coming to us and not do anything about it, thinking that if we put up any resistance, it'll be worse. So therefore, if we just take a few punches to the face, everything will be fine. That is the overwhelming majority of white people now. It is well documented that soy and soy products raises the estrogen in white males. It's pretty well documented that these plastic bottles that drinking water comes in has a chemical in it that increases passivity in men, especially white men. In fact, these factories that make these bottles, this chemical runs off in the local water, and it's having strange effects in the fish and the frogs in that area. They're starting to see homosexual activity amongst frogs and amphibians and stuff like that. They're seeing fish being born with both sexes. You know, they're seeing that shit in nature now because of this chemical that's running off in the local water system. They have these same factories in Japan, and the same thing is happening. In fact, there was a Wall Street Journal article, I think a couple years ago, talking about how Japanese men are no longer interested in sex. There's just rising phenomenon over there of Japanese men don't want to have sex. And pretty soon they're going to have to start incorporating Vietnamese immigration and Indonesian immigration just to run their machinery and stuff like that. Well, that's going on in this country. Okay. See how much time I have left? 24 minutes. All right. You want to have street survival instincts about you. You need to do what you can to... Don't be so rude. I'm not saying be ruthless to the point where you walk around with this mean mug on your face all the time. That's not healthy. Being negative and pissed off all the time has adverse effects to your health. So, have to think about that. All right, street survival lessons. Never needlessly endanger others. And they told a story about this guy named Jonathan. So Jonathan and I agree that Thomas acted correctly since he did not have a clear field of fire, lacked proper training in the use of his weapon, and lacked tactical know-how, and did not have the confidence in his ability to hit his target. And there was a scenario here about how this guy saw something happening and he had a weapon but didn't have the proper training. So you got to get that training. There's training out there. There's all kinds of stuff on YouTube. There's this video series called First Person Defender, and it has all these different scenarios on there. They're not foolproof, but there's something to think about. Number two, never practice denial. prior to facing the reality of a terrorist attack or an assault on the street. Thomas had practiced denial, even though he purchased a handgun after reviewing his dead friend's body. He never really believed he would ever have to use it. I guess that's right, he bought a firearm because he saw his friend killed. Also, never have enough ammunition on hand. Well, this really appeals to you guys with concealed carry. Personally, I think guns are going to be outlawed in this country. The lack of even one spare magazine, you know, may be the tell-all in whether you survive a certain situation. Accept the use of deadly force. Number four, you must accept the unpleasant fact you may be forced to take a human life. Repetitive exercise alone will not guarantee that you will perform. They must be based on a correct mindset, based on your prior acceptance of the use of deadly force. To be forewarned is definitely to be forearmed. Okay. Switching gears here a little bit. I'm reading this book called The Ancestral Mind. It started off good, but now it's turning into one of these self-help books and this and that. And, you know, the guy is correct about, you know, the bad anatomical effects of stress in your life. And the ancestral mind, which has been around longer than us in the thinking mind. I agree that when we see something that repulses us, that's coming from our ancestral mind, because it has a longer history. It says here, in the Western world, mechanized timekeeping put an end to that informality and flexibility. By the time of the Middle Ages, monks had already begun to use devices like the sundial and the hourglass to mark their schedules for prayer. Later, the tolling of bells and church towers regulated activities for all within hearing. Okay? Time is now our unquestioned master. We're talking about how mechanical we've become in our own existence, which I guess, you know, suppresses imagination and stuff like that. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But the ancestral mind, they say, is more of your, well, it's your right brain and your left brain. But I believe it's the things that come instinctual. When I see an interracial couple, I don't see fashionability. I don't see, colorblindness. I see genocide. And us being 7.9% of the world's population, it is definitely genocide. And the reason why there is no outcry, the reason why the most dastardly things happen to white people, is that we have been programmed through music, through Hollywood movies, through sitcoms, through primetime television. We have been programmed to be passive, to be politically correct. Many of you thinking, what am I supposed to do? Just get rid of my TV and just not go to movies ever? I don't know. Each individual has to make up their own mind what to do. I don't have a TV. You know, I'm probably a happier person because of it. Which affords me more time to read, but you know, I would say I'm more bored than the next person, which is downfall of that. I'm not a young spring chicken anymore, so not like I can go out and just you know, gallivanting around or whatever on a bicycle, or maybe I should, but the point I'm trying to make is that we, you know, we got to come to a point in our lives where we ask, who are we? You know, if I ask you who you are, and you first thing you name off is your job and what you like to do for a hobby and stuff like that, that's like the stuff we, that's the mask that we show the world. You know? What, who are we under the mask? Something to think about. But in a street survival situation, you definitely want to think like an alley cat. Many times, this is the opposite. Many times I am asked by people, how can I walk in a street and avoid becoming a victim? My pat answer is to observe an alley cat foraging for food in a garbage bin or sunning himself on top of a wall. Suspicion is its middle name. It trusts no one. The alley cat is on full alert even when squinting at you through half-closed eyes. Make a move toward it and it's off into parts unknown. That's how alley cats have survived all these centuries in constantly changing and hostile environments. We have to engage both sides of our brain. I believe too many white people are not doing that. Either they're the artistic, artsy-fartsy kind of people, and they're right side dominated, which tends to be, which is more of your effeminate brain, and the mechanical whites out there who are left brain don't really mean that they're super aggressive, but they're just, you know, they're the type of people that are always on some kind of computer device. Too many of us are way hooked to that thing, to that handheld device in our hands. Everywhere you go in society, people are looking at something that's in their hand. They don't look at the stars anymore. Some of my students complain, I can't live that way. I can't spend my life waiting to be attacked. My answer is, we are responsible for how we choose to live, and many times how we choose to die. You know, I've had people say that to me. It's not a chore for me to watch my, to be aware of my surroundings, to watch my six. It's not a chore. It's just something that comes natural. It's not a chore for me to not have a knife on me. Many times I've walked out of my apartment and I have this thing, and it's become an anatomic response for me to check my belt line for my knife. And I do it subconsciously now. And I notice if I don't feel it, I go back in my apartment and I get it. There are times where I've forgotten it, and I did what I call a weapons check, and I'm like, oh, shit, I left the house without it. And it pisses me off. I very, very rarely do that. If I had a dime for every time I've forgotten to leave my apartment without a knife, I'd maybe have 30 cents on me. I just don't do it. Now, if you choose to be protected only by the laws of mathematical possibilities, you have the 50-50 chance of not ever facing a criminal encounter. But if you do, remember, you called the shots. You didn't want to live that way. We cannot be on the street and act as if we were in our living rooms, safely behind locked doors and windows. The safe artificial environment we have constructed for ourselves has no relationship to the street. Looks can deceive. The notorious Boston Strangler gained entry into an unsuspecting woman's apartment by pretending to be a good-natured repairman. He looked harmless. He didn't. Yeah, but he looked harmless, but he wouldn't have fooled an alley cat. Okay? So you are responsible for your own survival. Any women out there, God forbid any of you get raped, it's not your fault. Too many women like beat themselves up for the rest of their lives because of it, or physically traumatized by it. Well, it's not your fault. It's not your fault that we live in a fucked up world. And if God forbid anything happened to you, and you survived the encounter, at least you survived with you. I forgot what the FBI statistic is. If you're abducted at point A, you have a 0.0007 chance of surviving point B. So it would be better for you to be punched, kicked, slapped, stabbed, shot, bludgeoned at point A. Because if you allow yourself to be taken to point B, you'll be completely dehumanized and humiliated, probably. Tell me your chances. So it would be better for you to die at point A than to allow yourself to be taken to point B, hoping that you'll survive. So you ladies out there, if they come for you, you need to go somewhere else in your mind. Meaning, all the humanness about you, your good naturedness, your, you know, not wanting to hurt your fellow man, that needs to go by the wayside. Our race is definitely going by the wayside. We need to wake up. We need to stop looking at Obama that he's out to destroy the nation. He is doing what he's told. If you vote Democrats, if you vote for the Democratic Party in upcoming elections, chances are you're voting for a big government who are going to do a lot of spending for social programs, money we don't have, you know, putting us further in debt. If you vote for the Republican Party, you're going to be voting for deregulation. You're going to be voting for horrible environment. You're going to be voting for the people at the top to get more and more of the profits. So you're damned either way. The Republican Party and the Democratic Party are in two separate cars heading towards a cliff. And you can make the argument which one's going faster. It doesn't even matter. You're doomed either way. All these right-wingers like to throw Ronald Reagan around like he was some paragon of Americanism. Bullshit. He was doing what he was told. When the colonists got, when he beat, you know, when Cornwallis surrendered at Yorktown, wherever he surrendered, I guess he made a statement of some kind that, yes, we lost this battle, but we are going to win in the end because we're going to infiltrate your society with Fabian socialism. I forgot what he said, but it was really, very interesting. And George Washington was a Freemason also. Probably one of the last good ones. You've all read that excerpt from a letter he wrote to someone who said that Freemasonry was infiltrated by Jacobinism, the principles of Jacobinism, which is the Jesuits. Adam Weishaupt, who studied the Illuminati, wasn't he studying to be a Jesuit? Too many of us are not paying attention to how evil the Vatican is. The seat of Christendom, right? Vatican. But yet it is filled with Egyptian pagan symbolism. Why? The mitre on the Pope's head looks like a fish head, which is symbolic of Dagon, the Babylonian god. Mostly everything that we've been taught in the world, mostly, I would say easily 95% of everything we've been taught is all bullshit. And I've come to the conclusion, I don't know if absolute truth can ever be known. The people at the top, they know the truth about everything. I really believe they do. They know how life started on this planet. They know the origins of humanity. They know the truth about every historical thing. Somebody was saying on the radio the other day that in the Vatican archives, underneath the Vatican, these tunnels that stretch for 54 miles, these integrated, highly technically complex tunnel system under the Vatican, is now closed off to the public. They no longer want people looking at the records down there. I forgot when they made that announcement, but it wasn't too long ago. And somebody said they saw the American history section. Remember, we're only like, 240 years old or so. And it said it went on for like a couple football fields. Just the historical records of America alone. It was huge. When the guy flicked the light on, it went all the way down. You know, kind of like that scene from Batman Begins when Morgan Freeman flicks that switch and Christian Bale's character, Batman, watched all those lights light up all the way to the far end. It was like that, according to this person. Remember Napoleon invaded the Vatican and he looked at a lot of their records, or some of them, and he said, history's bunk. They want to make sure that absolute history can never be known. But one thing is known for certain. They want the white race gone. They want a brown teeming mass of humanity with no conception of itself, so it's easier to rule. And then when they do put that microchip in our brain, that's right, Eric Schmidt from Google was talking about that the other day, or within the last year or so. They're actually actually designing it now, but you know, he made this announcement when they unveiled the Google goggles, you know, the glass that you can wear and be on the internet at the same time. And it says, well, we're working on it now, putting the chip in the brain, but we haven't crossed the creepy line. Or we don't want to cross the creepy line yet. And he let out this creepy laugh, and everyone thought it was just so funny. But yeah, they have that now. They have the know-how to do it. They just don't know how to make it, you know, sell it to the public yet. Remember, everything's got to have a positive spin. You know, we'll accept the microchip because it'll help us if we're ever abducted. We already have the OnStar in most of new cars now, which can be turned on without you knowing about it, and they can listen in on your conversations. Just like they can turn on your cell phone from a remote location and listen to everything that you're saying. They can also use the camera on your phone without you knowing about it. Shit, Edward Snowden recently just whistle-blew a lot of that shit. We need to learn about all these dialectics that they erect in front of us to divide us. Republican and Democrat. Christian and Protestant. Christian and Muslim. Muslim and Jew. Black and white. Old and young. Male and female. All of these divisions that they have in society is to keep us disorganized. I'm not saying we need to unite with black people, but recognize that they're bamboozled also, just like most white people are. And they're raising and they're forging this black race and the incoming Mexican and Muslim immigrants into a weapon. When we won the so-called American Revolution, I call it so-called because I don't believe we ever won our independence. Read Cracks in the Constitution by Ferdinand Lundberg. Read a lot of stuff out there. I mean, we're still subservient to the Bank of England. Bottom line, Federal Reserve is subservient to the Bank of England, and the Federal Reserve is our monetary master. The United States of America is a corporation, not a nation. Fact. Well, how can you make that? You know, do your own research. I've done mine. I'll try to expound on it as best I can, but these are one-hour shows, so. Well, we must secure the existence of our people and the future for white children. So
until next time, this is Sling Blade.
Well, there goes Sling Blade, his first show of the new season. And I'm probably going to be playing at least two of his shows a week. If you'd like more of them, I'll put more of them, because we've got not only the 12 shows he just did, but we've got a box full over here that, again, I'm not exactly sure whether we've ever aired them on the Insurgent Radio or not. You can also tell that Sling Blade and I don't converse too often, very often, since we're not doing a two-man show. Now, in some ways, that is not real good. In other ways, it's quite good, because it allows Sling Blade to be freewheeling and get his ideas out there, even though we may disagree sometimes. But that's all right. That's the way we learn things. So I think it probably works out better that way than if we were both on there interrupting each other and arguing too much and like that. I tend to find that these guest shows have their pitfalls, downfalls, and it can degenerate real fast. Not that it would with Sling Blade, because I don't think we ever had that problem. But and the other thing is finding guests to be on the show that know shit from Shinola. And most of them are so far behind the curve. I'm not saying that I'm brilliant or Sling Blade's brilliant or Stray Dog's brilliant or anybody else. I'm just saying that there's a lot of people out there on some subjects are way behind the curve. A lot of it's way behind the curve on religion. And, of course, you know, he mentioned the Republicans and Democrats. Well, the Republicans and Democrats are there simply to funnel your energies into crazy-ass ideas and plans. Some work, some don't. But then they answer to the corporate power above them. And then the corporate power answers to people way above them, to where, like I was quoted on that TV movie clip yesterday, that 1% of 1% at the top. But it suffices to say the ruling class. What the ruling class wants, the ruling class gets. And if you're not prepared to resist the ruling class, at least at the present, well, don't waste your time. Now, I have a difference of opinion with some people on movies and TV. It's not, I mean, it's your fault if you're not selective and discriminatory in what you watch and what you and why you watch and how you discern important information that's woven into the television programs and so forth. I know that it's 99% bullshit, but it's no more of a waste of time to watch a fictional movie than it is to read a fictional paperback. And you can watch a fictional movie in a lot less time, and video is a lot more powerful than reading from a book. I know with me, I'm somewhat of a slow reader, and I have to go back and read over again. But what you don't understand, or what a lot of people don't understand, there's a hell of a lot of people writing in Hollywood that are sending across very important messages that are flying right underneath the wire of most of the people. And the reason the system doesn't nail them down more on that is because they know there's only the 1% out here that gets it. So when I say I watch movies to learn tactics, and there's a lot of good tactics in the movies. I learn it's sort of mental exercise. And it's interesting. Remember one thing, too. Sling Blade talked about the right and left brain, and of course I've talked to you about the tripart brain, the reptilian brain in the back, the mammalian brain, and then the human brain in the front, and that of course has to do with your larger frontal cortex. But there's also something else you have to understand, and that is subconscious, conscious, and superconscious. Now, most people will go around saying, well, I believe there's a subconscious, you know. And they'll go around and say, well, I know there's a conscious, but how many people of you really know or talk about the superconscious? To me, that is an indication of the God-man and where where that God-man resides in the super consciousness, which is difficult for us to make contact with or get into. But it has to do with we have a lot more abilities and possibilities we carry around in that super consciousness than we'll ever use. And most people never learn to use it. You know, like clairvoyancy and just able to have hunches and perceive something that a lot of other people don't perceive. This is part of your super consciousness, to where it puts some people way ahead of other people. And we don't necessarily know why it happened, but that's the way it is. Maybe that's something we brought here from someplace else. I don't know. Or maybe we just evolved through the tripart brain and we're animals and there's nothing to be embarrassed about being the highest animal that there is. But on the other hand, there's a possibility that we carried with us tremendous abilities from some other area of the universe. So I don't know. I'm not saying I'm building a church on all this stuff. I'm just pointing it out. That's it for today. I'll see you Moonsday. And have a good Sunday. Remember, as long as that sun is burning in the heavens, there'll be everlasting life on the earth. May not be human life, but it'll be life. So if you're going to give reverence to anything on Sunday, give the sun its due. That's it, 14:5, and remember, you're traveling in a sea of not only idiocy, but deceit and lies and so forth. So you're best to shut up.